So she knew her father didn't approve, but it didn't get in her way. She was in love, and that was the man she wanted to marry. And everyone tried to convince her it wasn't a good idea. But that's what she wanted. And they tried, and they explained, and they pleaded, but she wouldn't listen. And so this young princess, who had such a bright future ahead of her, went and married the young shepherd. And after the wedding, and after all the fanfare had died, so they went back home to his little hut. And the first morning, she wakes up to a funny smell. So she asks him, "Hey, Charles, what's that?" He says, "I have a surprise for you." She says, "What is that?" And he's stirring something on the fire. And he pours it, and it starts blubbering out. You know, globs are falling into her bowl. And she says, "What's that?" So she says, "Well, what do you mean? I made you the greatest delicacy. I made you..." He looks at her, and she's not excited. He says, I bashed up the barley. I made you porridge." She says, "That's porridge? No honey? No cinnamon? No sugar? No nuts? No raisins? No, that's porridge?" He says, "Oh, you don't like my porridge? Okay, never mind. Bye." He comes home that night, and he's all glowing, and he's holding something behind his back. "Honey, you'll never believe what I have for you." And she looks at him, and she says, "Charles, I smell something funny. It smells like a skunk." He says, "Have you guessed? You guessed? I got you. I killed a skunk just for you. I can make you a nice hat." She says, "Charles, what'd you bring that animal into the house for? Well, I don't understand." He says, "You don't like the skunk, you know, you sprayed me all up. I thought you'd want the fur, you know, a little hat or something." "Charles, you really think I would wear a skunk on my head?" "Well, I don't understand. Rebecca, you wear furs." She said, "Yes, I went and I bought furs when I was a princess, but a skunk?" He says, "Well, where do you think they got the furs from?" She said, "I don't know, but I never had a skunk in my house." Oh. And so day after day, Charles tries to bring her the greatest things he can think of. One day he wakes up and he says, "Let's go on a date." And she says, "What are we going to do on a date?" He says, "What do you mean? We'll pick chestnuts." She says, "Pick chestnuts? I never pick chestnuts. How do you pick chestnuts?" "Come, I'll show you. It's a lot of fun. But there are mosquitoes out there, Charles. I can't just go out there with all the mosquitoes." And, "Oh, Rebecca, what can I do to make you happy?" Whatever he tries, he hits a dead end. And day after day, week after week, month after month, until finally she sits him down and she says, "Charles, I want you to understand something. I left my father's house, but I'm a princess. You can't just make me happy with a skunk and some porridge or with picking chestnuts. I'm a princess. I'm used to better. And none of this is going to make me happy." Chazal say the story of Charles and Rebecca is quoted in the Midrash on Koheles, on Ecclesiastes. The Midrash says that's the story of our life. We spend our life seeking happiness. So what do? We go and we buy a good pie of pizza and a beer or a Coke, and we eat and we drink and we try to make ourselves happy. And then, after a period of time, we feel empty. It's not it. So we go and we say that's not it, so I'll go on a hike. That's not it, so I'll go on a tour. That's not it, so I'll go work out. That's not it, I'll play tennis. I'll play ping pong. That's not it, I'll go on the internet. That's not it, I'll go surfing, not on the internet, on the beach. And we're searching. We spend our life searching for that thing which will make us happy. And if you look inside every person, you will find that we all have a certain loneliness in common. And there's a certain sadness that we cannot eradicate. And the reason that we spend our life with this recurring challenge, and by the way, that's the reason why all the superstars are committing suicide or taking drugs or going to psychiatrists, because society leads us to think that if you have the fame and you have the wealth and you have the looks and you have the money, then you'll be happy. And they have the fame and they have the looks and they have the wealth and they're not happy. And like Marilyn Monroe wrote in her suicide note, she said, "I've come to the realization that I will never be happy." So she took she committed suicide. And that's why they just had another actor commit suicide in England a few weeks ago, right? That's what I heard. And there are a dime a dozen, all these actors that commit suicide. Why? Because society spends their time idolizing them, thinking they have it all. But they know they don't have it all. They're even more miserable because they've got nowhere to turn. If after they've gotten all that, they're still not happy, so what do you do now? So most people, what?
Go to the Kabbalah
Center. Go to the Kabbalah Center, yes, okay. So the truth is that someone once asked me, you guys once asked me, Bill Gates. What can his daughter do to have a happy life? So I said, the only thing she could do is lead a life of helping other people. Then she'll feel like she's worth something. If she's going to try to outdo her dad financially or anything else, she's not going to succeed. You know, there's one in a millennium like that. Okay, the guy's wealthier than some countries. Fine. You get one every century or two that's like that. Fine, okay. She's going to outdo her father? I don't think so. But if she uses the wealth wisely, then she'll feel satisfaction. Then she'll be happy. And the truth is, that's the story of our lives. We're always seeking happiness. How am I going to be happy? So we do all kinds of things, and it's not there. So we have the thrill of the moment, and then it's not it. And so the pasuk says, "V'nefesh lo timale." The soul is never going to be happy. You're serving a porridge, and it's a princess. The soul is godly, and the soul strives for godliness. And the only way that the soul is going to find that happiness is if you give it what it wants. You have to talk on the soul's language. And that's why, where do you find people happy? Around the Shabbos table, around the Yom Tov table. People are sitting with their families. It's not because the challah is so yummy. It is so yummy. But it's not the taste of the challah. It's the atmosphere. It's the Yom Tov. It's the Shabbos. It's the fact that you're giving the soul what the soul needs, and you're using the physical as a tool. It's interesting that in the laws of Shabbos, it says you're supposed to have pleasure on Shabbos. So one of the laws of Shabbos is that a couple is supposed to be intimate Friday night, provided that in accordance with the laws of family purity, we always discuss intimacy as a form of love, not as something physical. The physical is a tool. It's not an ends, it's a means. Right, but it goes hand in hand. But it's still Onik Shabbos. The challahs are Onik Shabbos because of the taste of challahs. Go, you just add rolls now. They don't come close to the challahs of Shabbos. So it's true. The Gemara says that Antoninus visited Rebbe once, and it was a Sunday or a Monday, and Rebbe didn't expect him, and he only had cold food. So Antoninus ate it, and when Antoninus was done, he said to Rebbe, "That was amazing." And then a few days later, Antoninus again came for a surprise visit, and he ate the food. And he said to Rebbe, he said, Antoninus was the Roman emperor. Rebbe was the chief rabbi of Israel. He says to Rebbe, "That wasn't as good as last time. And then what ingredient were you missing?" So Rebbe said, "It's not an ingredient you could give me." So Antoninus said, "What do you mean? I have every ingredient under the sun. What can't I give you?" Rebbe said, "I'm telling you, that's an ingredient you can't give me." So Antoninus said, "Okay, tell me, what's the secret ingredient that I can't give you?" Rebbe said, "The secret ingredient is called Shabbos. The food you ate on Monday was leftovers from Shabbos. The food you made in honor of Shabbos has that special ingredient called Shabbos. You make something for Shabbos, it has a special taste, even if you eat it as leftovers on Monday. The food you're eating now is today's food, but it doesn't have that ingredient called Shabbos." So it's true, the food of Shabbos tastes better. But the greatness of the food of Shabbos, aside from that special ingredient, the greatness is the spirit of Shabbos. It's what goes beyond the challah. And so when we look at the songs we just sang, one song says, "Sama nafshi le'elokim lekel chai." My soul is thirsting for Hashem, for the living God. When will I come close to Him? And that's what our soul is yearning for. Now, godliness can be in the form of doing something for someone else. Godliness can be and should be in the mundane. As the Rebbe of Slanim repeatedly states in the Ntivot Shalom, if Hashem wanted angels, well, He had angels, He didn't need us. Why did Hashem give us the Torah? Because He wanted us in the world down here below to lead a holy life and to take the mundane and uplift it. And our soul is really thirsting for it. Our soul is thirsting to Hashem, but we try to satiate it with the porridge and the skunk and the go pick chestnuts. And at the end of the day, when you guys have made it here, so obviously you've found that you know where you're going to get the answer. And I'm not talking about the philosophical answers. I'm talking about the way of life, which Be'ezrat Hashem will give you the greatest joy. And we wish you luck. Okay, what's the next song?